It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Joining me now for our Ask a Pastor segment, we do have Pastor Thabo Mlotshwa. Pastor Thabo Mlotshwa is joining us one more time to help us understand complex things. And I've been befuddling and, well, befuddling your minds, such as mine as well. Remember, this segment is dedicated to you. Please send your questions and my producer will find you a pastor, like she has done with Pastor Mlotshwa. And Pastor Mlotshwa joins us on the line. Mfundisi, good afternoon to you. Welcome. And thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me once again.
Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Our question for this week, as we conclude this week, is it right to limit leadership roles in a church based on someone's personal history?
That, my friend, is a difficult, though interesting, question for us to consider. But I believe that it is right to limit leadership roles based on someone's history. But maybe let me just summarize by saying that limiting roles may be a necessary consequence of one's history, but that consequence does not undermine the presence or the effectiveness of grace and redemption. So someone is saved and repentant, and their history is really in the past. But when it comes to certain leadership roles, it may not be all of them, but when it comes to certain leadership roles, it might be necessary to limit an individual based on their past, which is really in the past, but it may be necessary.
Would you like to give us a biblical basis for that posture, Mfundisi?
Okay. First of all, there are certain standards of leadership that we find in the book of 1 Timothy, I think. 1 Timothy chapter 3 has some qualities. It basically tells us that there are certain qualifications that must be considered for church leaders. And in that passage, it also mentions in verse 7 that one who is elected must have a good rapport with the community. In other words, they must be trusted by the community, because as a church leader, you are representing the church to the community. And so your character, your past has a bearing on that.
What I was asking about, Mfundisi, is when we're saying we must limit leadership roles based on history, where do we get that from?
Oh, okay. So what I mean by that is, as a church, we have an ethical responsibility. It's a spiritual and ethical responsibility.
I want us to restrict ourselves to the scriptures, to the scriptural side and to the spiritual side. I do agree with you from an ethical perspective. Hell, even from a legal perspective, that is a requirement any and everywhere. But we are not ethical, an ethical organization. We are not organized in terms of ethics. We're not organized in terms of the law. We are organized in terms of the Bible and this, the Spirit. So let's find from our root and our predicate, where do we get the basis to discriminate against people based on their history?
Your words, discriminate against people. Okay, so we may not have a text. Whenever we come up with principles are based on what the scripture says.
Yes.
You may not find a particular verse which says, you know, thou shalt do this or thou shalt not do that.
I understand.
Right. But if we look at examples in the Bible, you will find situations where, let's say, Moses disobeys God, and then as a consequence of that disobedience to God, he is restricted from achieving certain things.
Based on
his disobedience.
That's not our question for today, Mfundisi. It's not whether you can achieve things or not. It's about whether you are allowed to lead.
Right. And I'm saying that there are principles that we extract from throughout the scripture. And so the principle that we extract, we can extract that principle from the experience of Moses.
Moses was not stopped from leading. There's no principle we can get there, because as far as Moses is concerned, Moses was a murderer, an unrepentant murderer, who, when he was found guilty by the Pharaoh and the Pharaoh wanted to put him through death row, he fled the scene. He's an escaped convict and he is a fugitive of justice, an unrepentant murderer who premeditated, killed a man, buried him in a shallow grave and escaped justice, and he fled justice. He is now a documented unrepentant murderer, and God never stopped him. He still allowed him to lead the entire nation. Quite frankly, right. God supported him in his murder when he said, "Go, the people who had put you on death row are dead now, so your crime is prescribed."
Right. You can go back. All right, no. What I'm saying is, God instructs Moses. Okay, so this is after Moses has murdered and so forth. He has led the children of Israel. Now, the Lord instructs Moses, speak to the rock to ask for water.
Yes.
And then Moses disobeys what God has said.
Right.
And so if you then go to the book of Deuteronomy, I think the early, maybe chapter 3 of Deuteronomy, where Moses is talking to the children of Israel. At this time, Moses has realized that because God has told him that you will not go into the promised land, okay? You will not lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Why? Because Moses disobeyed by striking the rock instead of speaking to the rock. So this was a consequence. Yes, Moses has been forgiven. In fact, he was so forgiven that God actually buried him himself and took him to heaven.
No, no, Pastor. You're not going to find that in the Bible. There is nowhere in the Bible where the Bible says Moses was forgiven.
All right. So the Bible may not say that Moses was forgiven, but anybody who enters into heaven is somebody who has been forgiven for their sins.
There's no record of Moses ever entering heaven either.
But there is. If you go to the book of Jude,
you're never going to find it in Jude. In Jude, there is a contention of Moses' body. It is not recorded that the body was taken to heaven. You're never going to find that.
And what about the Mount of Transfiguration?
Even there, in the Mount of Transfiguration, all three of these characters that were at the Mount of Transfiguration, no record is there suggesting that Moses went to heaven.
So where was Moses coming from then, if he's not coming from? Because if Jude talks about the contention of Moses' body,
yes,
and we are told that God himself buried him, and then and yet his grave was never found, all right? We take all of that, and then Moses coming to the Mount of Transfiguration together with Elijah, then the question would be then, where was Moses coming from?
First of all, Mfundisi, I want us to remember that at the Mount of Transfiguration, we don't see people there. It is what appeared, and unless the pastor is suggesting that there are people who are dead, they go to heaven. The only person documented in Scripture to have gone to heaven is Elijah, who was taken to heaven by the chariot of fire. In all of our scriptures, at least canonized scriptures, the Protestant scriptures. Secondly, when we speak of a body, we speak of a dead person. And there is no record of that dead body of Moses ever being resurrected. We do have record of the spirit of Elijah, the spirit of the prophet Samuel being resurrected by the wizard of Endor. We do have the spirits, but we have no record of these men, whether it is Moses, going to heaven. So any other thing would be in the realm of speculation, and surely we're not going to have confused theology with speculation, are we, Mfundisi?
No. We've got, there are more records of people who have, who are in heaven. We have Enoch, which the Bible says he walked with God.
No. I'm talking about this one, Mfundisi. I don't want us to digress too much, Mfundisi. Remember, the issue was, is it right to limit leadership roles in a church based on someone's personal history? And the pastor said, we can learn from Moses. And I'm suggesting from Moses, Moses was never stopped from leading. It was the extent of his leadership, but he was leading through and through up until the mountain. So there was God never said, I'm not going to allow you to lead because you're a murderer.
No, I'm not talking about Moses' murder. That's not the problematic past of Moses that I'm talking about. The problematic past is in his disobedience of God, and so he goes against what God has said, and as a result of that, God limits him and says, because you have done this, you will not go into the promised land.
Right.
You will not lead the children of Israel into the promised land.
Right.
And God says, in fact, Moses, I want you to take Joshua.
Yes, sir.
And he is the one who's lead, because you yourself, Moses, are not going to lead them. So that was a consequence of Moses's disobedience to God. So the principle of limiting leadership is found in that instance where Moses is talking to the children of Israel, and he is saying to them that I will not go with you into the promised land.
Okay.
That's what he's saying.
So let me follow your train of thought, Mfundisi. So you can be a thief, and we allow you to be a treasurer at church. Just say you are not going to be a treasurer alone. Oh, and the last month of your work as a treasurer is going to be curtailed. Is that what you mean by that? Because the direct application of your analogy speaks only to the extent, not the actual role. And our question for today speaks about the role of leadership, not the extent of leadership.
Okay, no. When we say limiting, we are saying that an individual can still lead, but their past cannot be ignored.
Right.
But they can still lead. For instance, if somebody has been guilty of stealing, we are saying you can lead perhaps the men's organization, or you can lead such and such a department.
Where do we get that from, for this? I understand what you're saying, but do we have a biblical basis for it?
No, the biblical basis is we can limit a leadership role based on the past. So in our application of that limitation, we then cannot say no, but then the Bible says if you have stolen, then you cannot go into treasure. We're not going to find that in the Bible.
Yeah, but we don't seem to be having a principle coming out anywhere in the scriptures, Mfundisi. I need you to help me from scriptures if we have a biblical basis to limit. You're saying we have a basis. Where is that basis in scripture?
Okay, what is your understanding of Moses, the limitation that God places on Moses in his leading the children of Israel into the promised land?
So my understanding, Mfundisi, is first of all, God did not stop Moses from leading. He did not limit him. He didn't say, I'm going to restrict you to that because of your past. There was nothing that God stopped him from doing as a leader because of his past. He was only stopped from achieving his own dream of reaching there, not his leadership role. Reaching Canaan was not part of leadership restriction. Reaching Canaan is punishment for not obeying, just like those who disobeyed Moses died in the desert. So disobedience to God has the ultimate consequence of death. Though Korah and Dathan did not die because God had limited them, did not reach Canaan. The entire generation that left Israel never reached Canaan. It's only Caleb and Joshua who reached Canaan. Everybody else who reached Canaan was born in the desert. And that's not because they were limited. No, it's just a consequence of disobedience. So Moses suffering the consequences of his disobedience is not him being limited from leadership. He was a leader. Korah and Dathan were never leaders, in spite of the fact that they were to be leaders. Now, I want to give you three examples and footnotes that I want you to apply your mind to. We have a David who was a man slut, sleeping around with married women. One person who we should have cut off and removed all of his books from our Bibles. Why? Because this man knowingly slept with another man's wife, killed that man, and well, he repented. At least there is record of him repenting, but still God did not restrict him from leadership. God did not depose him. He didn't say, I'm going to stop you from being a king because you have slept with another man's wife. This very same man wanted to kill another man, the fool, because he would not give him his food. He blames him. I protected you. That's racketeering. That man never asked David to protect his livestock. But his wife went and appeased, and then David stopped from killing that man. When that man had a heart attack discovering that his wife went behind his back, he died, and David takes that man's wife. Of course, I understand he was dead, so she was free to remarry. But God did not, I repeat, God did not stop him from being king. Okay. So all of these examples that I'm sharing with you, Mfunis, are examples where God does not limit your role as a leader because of your past. He may stop you from achieving your dreams, like David was stopped from building the temple because of the blood in his hands, but he still continued to be a leader uncurtailed.
All right. So let me speak on David. So David, there are limitations that are placed on what he can do.
Okay.
He is a leader, and he wants to do something for God,
right,
and God limits him.
Right.
Now, for us to now then say, well, he wasn't stopped from being a king. He was just stopped from doing this, from building the temple.
Right.
But that is a limitation that has been placed on him.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yes, it is a limit. There's something that he wants to do. So if I have been guilty of, I've misused, I've abused the finances of the church.
Right, right.
That does, and I have repented. I can still be in leadership, so my leadership is still allowed, but there is a limit, just
right.
Like there is a limit on David's leadership.
Right, right.
He continues to be king,
right.
But there's a limit based on what he can do as a king.
Okay.
Moses as a leader, he continues to lead, but part of his leadership was for him to lead these people into Israel.
Okay.
That was his desire when God called him. God was calling him to lead his
right.
children from Egyptian bondage into the promised land.
Right, right.
So that's not just Moses' ambition out of nowhere.
Right, right.
In fact, Moses didn't initiate this. He didn't want to do it, but then it was God who called him to do it.
Right.
But now, because of what Moses has done, striking the rock, Moses says to the children of Israel, I was trying to find the passage while you were speaking, but unfortunately I'm not carrying my Bible.
Which passage would that be, Pastor?
Where Moses is talking to the children of Israel and telling them why they should, I thought it should be in Deuteronomy.
Just share it with Moses, us from your memory. Go ahead.
Okay, Moses is talking to the children of Israel, and he is appealing to them to keep the law, to do that which is good. In
right.
fact, he summarizes that at the end by saying, you'll be blessed if you do this, you'll be cursed if you do this.
Right.
So please choose life
right.
so that you and your your children will live.
Okay.
At the beginning of that conversation, when he's speaking to the children of Israel,
isn't that Deuteronomy 28 you were referring to, where there are blessings and curses?
Yes, the blessings and curses are in chapter 28.
Yes.
But I think it's chapter 4. Yes. Chapter 4 is where he begins to tell them why they must obey God, because he did not obey God. And because of that, he has been limited from entering into the promised land.
Okay.
That's chapter 4. Let's see. Those early verses, like from verse two and three going onward, he is beginning his appeal to the children of Israel. He's saying, "You guys, you obey, because I didn't, and now I'm not going to make it into the promised land."
Okay, that's probably 21 you're referring to. The Lord was angry with me because of you, and he solemnly swore that I would not cross the Jordan and enter the good land the Lord God is giving you as your inheritance. I will die in this land. I will not cross the Jordan.
Yes.
But you are about to cross over and take possession of the good land. Is that the verse you're referring to, Pastor?
That's the passage I'm talking about. So God limits his leadership and does not allow him to lead them into the promised land.
Well, according to him, it was not because of his actions. There is nowhere that Moses accepts responsibility for what you are allotting to him. He didn't. You are falsely accusing him, according to him, because verse 21 says, God is angry with me because of you. According to Moses, it's the people, not him. So.
Well, it probably comes earlier in the chapter.
Okay.
It comes earlier, because where God then says to him, Moses prays to God and says, Lord, please allow me to go into the promised land.
Right.
And God says to him, speak not to me on this thing again.
Yes.
Yeah, don't talk to me about this thing again. Remember, Moses understands that he is not going to be allowed to go into the promised land.
Right,
but
right.
He wants to appeal to God's mercy, to say, I know I did wrong, but please allow me.
Yes.
When he says God was angry with me for your sakes, it's the same thing, because the reason why he struck the rock is because he was upset because of the people.
Okay. All right.
And he ended up striking the rock instead of speaking to the rock. So that's why he's saying, for your sakes, because of you people,
right,
I ended up doing what was wrong.
Right.
Now I can't go into the promised land because of you people.
Okay.
Something like that.
I hear you. may I just point out that this week has been a thoroughly enjoyable week with you. I appreciate your calmness in addressing all of these.
Oh man, it has been something, and I appreciate it very much. It each time it makes me want to go back and reread everything.
Oh, because thank you ever so much, Mfundisi. May I invite you to do a show that I host on Sabbath afternoon between 3 and 5? It's a 2-hour show. It's called Sinai, where we discuss issues like these in depth, blow by
all
blow.
Right.
Perhaps you could schedule your time and see if we could record it, or we can do it live, whenever, whichever is most convenient for you. Would that be something you're interested in?
Absolutely.
Lovely.
Absolutely. I'm sure we would have a good time.
Appreciate
Absolutely.
It. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Yeah. I really appreciate your time. May God bless you.
Thanks so much, man. God bless.
All right. That's how we end our conversation with Pastor Mlotshwa. It's been a brilliant, a remarkable week. I've learned so much from the pastor, not just his answers, but the way he answered the questions and the way he addresses them. Very, very rooted and calm. Really appreciate. That's what we want. People who are able to take these questions and not be raffled by them.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.